You know, if we look around, we see the Bible fulfilling itself every day, and we see the on every hand these earthquakes and this thing in Japan, one of the worst earthquakes ever in history, 9.0, and the aftershocks, and it just goes on and on and on. The Bible says, you know, in the Gospels, it said, men's hearts failing them for the fear of the things that's coming on them. And the Bible says all these things are going to take place until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You and I are a Gentile, and this thing's getting ready to go back to the Jew, because God's going to wake the Jew up and bring Jew back to repentance. And the Bible says there'll be a day that all Israel shall be saved. And I believe that God's going to do what he said in his word. And the signs are on every hand. And also, the Bible gives us the signs of the falling of the way. And if there's ever been a time that the church has fell away, if I base my salvation in God and looking at what I see, I'd be like an ostrich. I'd go dig me a hole in the sand, stick my head in the sand, because it's that bad. But I'm glad I'm anchored on the rock, and I'm glad that my experience in God is not based on who's here, who's not here, who's wanting to go and who's not wanting to go, but it's based upon the fact that he is the Son of God. Join with me, if you would, before we go to the Word and preach this morning, as God would touch your hearts and spirits. And let's just ask the Lord to be real to us. And I know many are hurting, suffering, and many needs, and we just need to take all that before the Lord this day. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and we just thank you for this day that we have to worship you and to praise you. We come before you, Lord. And God, we need that touch that comes from only on high. And God, we ask, God, that you visit each one in the sound of my voice here in the studios throughout the entire world as we broadcast in a worldwide broadcast this morning, and Lord, for our tower stations here in Southwest Virginia. And God, all that receive it in their homes or automobiles by the new type radios that they receive from their computers, and all the different ways that receive the Word of God this morning, I want you to touch hearts. I want you to uplift. Turn the tide in many people's lives. God, they need an experience that'll turn the tide. And God, they need an experience, Lord, that God, that'll just lift them above all that's going on around them, all they're going through. And God, let them realize you never fail them. You'll never forsake them, never leave them. You go with them all the way. And God, I ask you, God, to be real here as your word is ministered and preached. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad that I know Jesus, and I know who Jesus is. We laid to rest a blessed saint that was in our ministry for many, many years over in Pembroke, Virginia, this past week. Sister Dalton, Julie Dalton, Robert Dalton's wife, and we had laid to rest Brother Robert just about 3 years back. But as we ministered in that funeral, we thought about the things that she had experienced. She knowed the joyful sound. The Bible tells us, blessed are those that know the joyful sound. I'm glad I'm a Pentecostal. The world may look down their nose at us. They may think we're peculiar. The Bible said we're supposed to be peculiar. You know, they may call us whatever. But God, I'm glad that I know the Pentecostal experience. I'm glad when death comes knocking up on my door that I don't have to go it alone. I'm working with a gentleman that's soon to make his crossing. And I shared with him how you won't have to cross Chili Jordan alone. The Lord will be there. His spirit will be there. I'm glad when the enemy rushes in like a flood, I know that the Holy Ghost of God will raise up a standard before him. I know, as Satan said, that he was going to attack Job, and the Lord said to him, as thou considered my servant Job, and I know the words that Satan said back to the Lord. He said, yes, I have. But he's got a hedge built around him. I'm glad today that we've got a hedge built around us. And I fear for our country because I believe we're losing the hedge around our country. When we say it's all right to allow men and women to depart from the nature of God's standard, and we allow women to marry women and men to marry men. When our president stands and gets a standing ovation when he announces now gays can openly serve in the military, I think he don't know the joyful sound. He don't know about the hedge. We see our country ignorantly plunging into stupidity in so many areas. We see the situations of fuel prices, and we hear the comment of our leaders saying we'd like to see them as they was in Europe, $8 and $9, $7, $8, $9 a gallon is what our country leadership says they would like to see. Why? Because the greed for the revenue of the taxes off of it. Most everything in this country is based on monetary facts or factors. But I'm glad today that I can look beyond what gas is going to be. And I said it here the other week, I don't care if it gets $50 a gallon. God owns all the hills, the cattle. He owns, listen, he owns the crude oil that's in the ground. God will supply all my need and all your need by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Don't sit around and fret about it. Don't sit around and worry about it. Lift up your heads when you see all these things beginning. Now, you know that your redemption draws nigh. Amen. I'm glad that I've been touched by his mighty hand. I'm glad I don't have to order gold nugget sermon outlines when I go to preach. I'm glad that there is a spirit that I can look to him. I told a preacher the other day that we shared with him at the funeral, and he said, I can tell you're kind of evangelistically inclined. I said, yes. I've always been caught between pastoring and being an evangelist. And sometimes I used to think the people I pastored, I evangelized them to death. Amen. But it works pretty good where we're at now. We preach probably no less than 1 million people plus, maybe 5 million this morning. I don't know. Some of those folks you don't have to look at while you preach. You know, all y'all are pretty this morning. Amen. You don't have nothing to worry about. But I preached to some that frowned, you know. And they looked like their mother-in-law had come to spend the summer with them or something, you know. His one guy said looked like they've been swallowed a persimmon and baptized in vinegar juice or something, you know. But I'm glad that God has called me to preach his gospel. We were blessed the other day to see numerous people that had been won to the Lord through the efforts of our ministry. And we give God the praise because we can't win them, you know. The Bible says, according to his word, some sow, some water. But only God gives the increase. Glory to God. A lot of preachers think they're going to straighten somebody out. You know, I can't preach hard enough to straighten you out. If you get straightened out, it's because you let the Lord straighten you out. You know, some preachers think if they beat people up enough, they'll do right. You can beat them up till they're a bloody pup. And you ain't going to make them do right. They got to make up their mind in their spirit, in their heart, that they want to let God do it. Because God's the only one can do it. God's the only one can deliver you from habits. God's the only one can deliver you from drugs. God's the only one can deliver you from alcohol. You know. What is it? AA says a 12-step plan. I got a 2-step plan. Don't buy alcohol and don't drink it, and you won't get drunk no more. Amen. But you can't do that in the natural. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't do that in the natural. You can't do that because you just get up one morning and say, well, I'm not going to drink anymore. It takes the strength of the Lord. It takes the anointing of God. But thank God. What is it? AA says you draw from whatever source. And if the big oak tree in your yard out front is what gives you the strength to stop drinking, then you worship that as your God. I said, bull. You know, there is one God. Amen. There is one Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin birth, laid down his life and took it up again and ascended on high to sit on the right hand side of the Father to evermore make intercession for you and me. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to give account to the priest. And I'm sorry, I'm glad I don't have to give account to you. And you don't have to give account to me. Amen? But you've got to give account to God that knows all things, that sees all things, that knows how many hairs is in your head and know which ones fell out yesterday and which ones come out when you combed it today. He knows what you eat last year on Christmas dinner, and he knows what you're going to eat this year on Christmas dinner ahead of time, because he knows all things and he sees all things. So unto him, then he is the only one can fix the situations in our life. He's the only one that can fix the problems. He's the only one, according to the Word of God, he's the only one that can make us whole. I'm so glad today that we have him moving in our lives, in our heart. I'm so glad today that I know him as my Lord and my Savior. But the gentleman said the other day, he's talking about, you know, how the, you know, I see a lot of preachers that scramble and try to find a thought, or they try to find some kind of outline. And I told the gentleman the other day, I step before God's people every time. For 45 years, I come in here as a beginner this morning. I come in here before the Lord, knowing nothing within myself, but only that which I've been taught by him. And I know that when I reached out to him, he knows what you need this morning. See, I could sit around and dream up whatever in the world to preach this morning. But see, I don't know exactly what you need this morning. I don't know how bad maybe you're hurting this morning. I don't know how bad the situation in your life maybe is this morning. I don't know what you're going through. Why, you could even tell me in words. You could say, Brother, go pray for me. I'm going through this. But I still don't know. Because I'm not there living the moments of your life. I'm not there going through what you might have went through this morning before you come, or what you're going to go through for the days where you lay your head to rest. I'm not there momentarily with you. But he is. And he'll make a way, the Bible, where there seemeth none. And he said, and there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. Glory to God. And there's not going to be anything cast upon you that you can't overcome. He's your strength. He's your high tower. He's the calm in the midst of the storm. He's the rock you're standing on. He's everything you need. Amen. But I said to my friend, he was talking about it. I said, when I step before the Lord, yes, I believe in studying. I got a pack of these Thompson Chain Bibles that I've wore the pages out on. And I've never studied enough. I've never learned enough. I've never done enough in my natural self to merit anything. But I'm glad for his anointing. I'm glad that I can walk out on the platform as I've done all over this country and on foreign soils. I'm glad I can walk out any time, any day, and I can look to him and say, God, what do you want me to tell your people? What do your people need today? Amen. I walked in this service last Sunday morning, and the Lord spoke to me earlier that morning. He said, you'll preach to the sinner this morning. He said, there'll be people listening to the broadcast that need to know how to be saved. And I know that because I remember May the 14th, 1959. I was a young man in the same position. I went to church all my life, but I didn't know how to be saved. I didn't know how it worked. I went to church, and the devil was smart enough to cause an interruption every service. And I'd miss the altar call. Or my ears would ring, or there was something go on that I could not grasp what I need to do. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. How does this thing work? On a Thursday afternoon, May the 14th, 1959, in an old farmhouse on Round Meadow Country Club Road in Christiansburg, Virginia, along about a mile road, come up through a dusty old path, and I seen a car come up that road that afternoon. About a little after 3 in the afternoon, I believe it was about 3:30, 3:25 when I got saved, but it's about 10, 12 minutes after 3. He said, how can you remember that? I can remember the day that he changed my life. I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't a drunkard. I wouldn't have any fixed habits, but I was a sinner and need to be saved by grace. And I was under depression. I was under harassment from Satan. I was under a depression that I thought every day that I was going to die. I didn't think I'd see night when I got up of a morning, and when I went to bed of a night, I didn't think I'd see the next morning. And I was just a young person. I needed relief. And Alka-Seltzer wasn't the answer either. Amen. I need more than I could get out of a bottle. I needed relief, and I was struggling. And I think about this morning, the Bible says over in John, the 9th chapter, we could spend all day on this, how the Lord healed this man and how they threw him out of the temple, how that the Bible said, and Jesus, verse 34, they simply said, and they cast him out. That's the end of verse 34. Now when they cast him out, the Bible said in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, notice here, he said unto him, does thou believe on the Son of God? In verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Well, on that Thursday afternoon, he came looking for me. He sent Edgar S. Martin. And I said, well, you want to pray for Mom? She's sick in the bed. Dad's at work. And he said, I'll pray for your mom before I leave. I didn't come to see her. I didn't come to see your dad. But I come to see you. He said, the Lord was dealing with me. That I need to tell you the plan of salvation. Amen. Seemed like I shared this a few weeks back, and seemed like maybe it's been years since I shared it with anybody. But it was a reality that day. He came looking for me. Amen. The Bible said no man can come to the Father lest the what? Lest the Spirit draw him. I'm thank God that he drawed me that day. I thank God that he's still drawing me to his bleeding side. I thank God that he's still drawing you this morning. I thank God that he's still got his hand outstretched. And as George Beverly Shea and the Billy Graham Crusades for decades have sung that song, without one plea, I come. We've got to come before him, realizing that we can't save ourselves. We can't even keep ourselves saved. You know. A lot of people rear back and say, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other, like that's going to keep them saved. I'm sorry. We are to be saved unto good works, but if we stay saved, we'll stay saved by grace. We'll stay saved because we yield more to his spirit than the spirit of the devil. The Bible says it's set before us spirit and flesh. And we're going to be which we yield ourselves to. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, can't even be subject to God. But the spiritual mind, God knows all things, sees all things. I dare to have one little glimpse that he give me than all the knowledge the world's got. I dare to have one quickening by his spirit that he quickened me by his spirit. I dare to have that glimpse. Because all it takes is that glimpse. Amen. And for 45 years I've preached this gospel with that understanding. The glimpse that God gives in my spirit. And he'll pull back the veil and he'll open up the scrolls and the windows of heaven. As I told my friend the other day, I said, God pours it in so fast it's all in the world I can do to open my mouth enough to get it out. And some people says, well, just open your mouth and God will fill it. Well, yeah, you open your mouth. If you ain't plugged in with God, you'll be filled with hot air and bad breath. Better get some surge. Amen. But if you allow him to come and be the Lord of your life and your soul, and you yield your members to him, both mind, soul, body, strength, and with all the heart, soul, and mind, thou dedicate thyself to his cause. When the scrolls are open, the veil is laid back, it'll be what thus saith the word of God, and it'll match this book. See, I see so many preachers preaching today, what they preach don't match the book. God only anoints what's in the book. He don't anoint bedtime stories, bare tales. He don't anoint fables. But he anoints his word. Because his word is the only thing you can hold on to. It's been forevermore settled in heaven. And it's the only thing you can totally hold on to. And God will wrap his arms around you and he'll keep you. And he'll carry you. God ain't through yet. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad he's not through yet. Your battle is no doubt is hard. But the hand of God is extended. And even here, according to the word of God, even here, when they actually throwed this man out of the synagogue, I mean, he'd been healed and they throwed him out because he'd been healed. I've had a lot of people say, well, boy, the devil, I wonder what I've done wrong. The devil's beating the fire out of me. Might be what you've done right. You know? Might be what you're doing right. Because usually if you done give in to the devil, sold out to him, he's going to come sing you a lullaby and rock you sleep. You're not going to have to worry about him. He don't mess with what he's already got. He's a sore loser. He lost his opportunity, kicked out of heaven, lost his opportunity for everything that God has got for you and me today, and he don't have a chance out. Only way he can get something from God is steal what God gives you. And he's a thief. He can't have my blessing, and if you don't give him your blessing, the devil's in trouble. But I'm telling you today, God, all in all, he never fails. He comes through just in time. William, my son, always said, God's the kind of feller holds you out the last minute, but he never lets you down. And I think William penned a good statement there. Because a lot of time when you're serving God, it does look like you're helped out to the last minute. But you got to keep your eye focused on the fact God don't ever fail. and he does what's the best. You know, Mama used to cook all day on Saturday so we could eat on Sunday. And when you set your feet up to table when Mom had cooked all day, and she always made a butterscotch pie and a chocolate pie. She wouldn't make one without making the other. And we had a restaurant that advertised they had homemade pies like Grandma used to make. Me and Jackie went and eat one of them. We said, She said, I never taste your grandma's pies, but I don't think they taste anything like this. They had butterscotch. They had chocolate. I think I got chocolate, and you got chocolate, and I got butterscotch. It was made the fast style. I'm not sure if it didn't take instant, put it, throw it in the crust, brown it, and throw a little meringue on it, set it on the table, and said it's like Grandma made. Grandma ain't never seen it. But them that Grandma made, and one that Mom made, she took the time to get it right. When she fixed the fried chicken, it wasn't an old piece of chicken, looked like the chicken star. I went in the restaurant one time, and I told the owner of the restaurant, I said, that chicken you got, I said, it looked like it starved to death, and you picked it up off the side of the road, and you put something on it. But I said, that stuff is nasty, you know. They didn't give the chicken long enough to grow up. You was eating skin on bone. It was an anorexic chicken, I believe. Amen. But when you sit down and eat a piece of Mom's chicken, she didn't have you to kill one of them chickens till it suited her. And she'd look out there and say, kill that one right over there. I think that one's ready. And come in there and look like a Winn-Dixie turkey. Hell. And when you eat a piece of that fried chicken, you knew you'd eat a piece of chicken. What I'm trying to say, God don't always do things like instant pudding, you know. God does it right. And sometimes we wonder why. I mean, I tell God to, I said, God, you know, you got to hurry up. Amen. I told Karen the other day, I told God, you know, I'm kind of getting impatient here. You know, I love preaching to sinners, and I'm going to preach to sinners from here on out. But I love to be amongst the old-time Pentecostal people that believe in the quickening power of God. And I said, God, if you want me to stay here much longer, you send me some that believe in the old-time quickening power. I want the people around me to be believers. I want the people around me to know my God. I want the people around me to be full of the presence and the Spirit of God. I thank God that God answers prayers. I thank God that God comes through just in time, and He will for you too. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we see our time is come and gone. We say goodbye to those on the World Wide Web throughout the entire world. We say goodbye for a few moments to those that listen to us here locally. And God, we know that many are suffering. We visited in the homes of many of them that suffered. God, you reach out and touch that lady with pneumonia, touch those with cancer, touch that man with a heart problem that's facing a heart surgery this coming week. Be with Jackie as she has her cataract surgery this coming Monday. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, be real to all this. Those that suffer, those that are having marital problems, those that are living with situations that's all they can bear. God, wrap your arms of love around them. Let them your grace, your mercy. Let them know that they got the power to tread on through. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, save, heal, deliver, and set free is our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen and amen.